It is now 9 o'clock, and I'm Victoria Bowman, chairman of the State Board of Massage Therapy. I am now calling the meeting to order. The chair of the Arizona State Board of Massage reserves the right to change the order of items published on this agenda, except for public hearings set for a specific time. During the board meeting and upon a vote of the majority of a quorum, the board may go into executive session to obtain legal advice from the board's attorneys pursuant to Arizona Revised Statute 38-431.03A3 on any items listed on the agenda. All meetings attendees whose presence is not required in an executive session may remain in the board meeting room when the board withdraws to chambers for an executive session. Any and all legal action by board members will only take place in open session. Ms. Cisneros, will you do a roll call of the board members?
Absolutely. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Present.
Vice Chair Clark?
Present.
Mr. McLean?
Present.
Mr. Ortega?
Present.
And Mr. Ramsey?
Present.
Thank you, Madam Chair. We do have a quorum.
Thank you. And so I now wish to acknowledge our staff, Ms. Rich, Mr. White, Mr. Wilcox, as well as our Executive Director, Mr. Augerton, and Mr. Monahan, our AAG, and also Ms. Cisneros, our Executive Get Things Together for Me. Thank you. Okay. Call to the public. Pursuant to ARS 38-431.01H, the board may make an open call to the public during a public meeting, subject to reasonable time, 3 minutes, place and manner restrictions, to allow individuals to address the public body on any issue within the jurisdiction of the public body. However, members of the board are not allowed to discuss or take legal action on matters raised during an open call to the public, unless the matters are properly noticed for discussion and legal action. The board, however, may ask staff to review a matter or may ask that a matter be put on a future agenda. Is there any call to public? Okay. Declaration of conflict of interest. Looking at our agenda today, are there any conflict of interest? Thank you. Review, discussion, and possible action on board meeting minutes. Is there a motion to approve of the board meeting minutes for November 23rd, 2020?
Chair Bowman, this is Emily Clark, Vice Chair. I make a motion to accept the minutes from the last meeting, November 23rd, 2020.
Nick McLean, I second.
Thank you. Ms. Cisneros, will you take a roll call vote?
Absolutely. Mr. Ramsey? Mr. Ramsey?
Yes.
Mr. Ortega?
Yes.
Mr. McLean?
Yes.
Vice Chair Clark?
Yes.
Chair Bowman?
Yes.
The motion passes. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, review, consideration, and discussion with Mr. Paul Avalar of the Institute of Justice regarding English language competency examinations, the TOEFL and TOEIC, including but not limited to their effect on the practice of massage therapy in the state of Arizona. Is Mr. Avalar with us now?
You need to.
I am. Can you hear me?
Looks like he's on.
Okay. Please, you may start your presentation.
Thank you, Chair, and members of the board for taking the time to hear me out. My name is Paul Avalar. I'm the managing attorney of the Institute for Justice here in Arizona. We're a nonprofit organization that works on a number of issues, including economic liberty, which we've done nationally for 30 years, and we've been here in Arizona for 20 years. Occupational licensing is an issue that we're deeply concerned about because of its massive growth since the 1950s. In the 1950s, only about 1 in 20 Americans needed an occupational license to do their job. Today, that number is closer to about 1 in 4, 1 in 5. And the burdens of occupational licensing have recently become more acknowledged and acknowledged across the political spectrum. It seems to be the one issue that both the Obama administration and the Trump administration agreed on. And in its really landmark study on occupational licensing in 2015, the Obama administration noted that occupational licensing burdens don't fall generally across the population, but rather affect particular subgroups particularly heavy. And one of those subgroups is immigrants. And I think the issue that I have recently become aware of in Arizona is an example of how that happens. While I recognize that the legislature has required the board to have a rule on communication proficiency, and this board can't just ignore the legislature, tempting though that is sometimes, you can and indeed you must tailor your rulemaking so that they are, in the words of the legislation, related to an applicant's ability to protect health and safety in connection with the practice of massage therapy. Moreover, as both a statutory and a constitutional consideration, your rules have to be reasonable, and not unduly burdensome. As I laid out in the letter I sent to the board on December 1st, the board's current standards are not reasonable and are unduly burdensome. One of the tests that you used as a standard isn't offered in Arizona, or appears not to be offered in Arizona. The minimum scores you require for both tests are unreasonably high when looking at mean scores overall and for particular groups. And the minimum scores exceed those necessary to be admitted to the PhD programs of each of Arizona's three public universities and are also higher than the minimum test score required for nurses in Arizona. In short, the level of English proficiency and the rule that your rule requires are just way out of whack with what other agencies, schools, or professional disciplines require. I went back and since writing the letter to you, and I'm happy to talk about anything in the letter you have, although I think it's fair, the letter itself is fairly straightforward. I went back and did a little bit more research knowing once I got the invitation to speak to you today. And the legislature passed the requirement or adopted the requirement that you have a rule back in 2013. Until then, there was no such requirement. And to explain its rulemaking process, this board said it was adopting the current rule, quote, as a health and safety measure to ensure that a massage therapist is able to make an evaluation of a client and communicate in English with the client or other healthcare practitioners and with a 911 operator in the case of emergency, unquote. That's what the board explained. But nowhere did the board ever explain why the minimum test scores it set were the appropriate ones. No justifications or examination of the tests and what they meant appeared anywhere in the board's rulemaking documents, not in the notice of rulemaking docket opening in March of 2014, not in the notice of proposed rulemaking in May of 2014, or in the notice of final rulemaking in August of 2014. The board's rulemaking statements never cited any research or discussion of these proficiency requirements, what they meant, never looked at other standards within the state of Arizona or other standards across the nation. I also went back and read all of this board's meeting minutes for 2013 and 2014, hoping I might get something more from there. And no discussion of this rule appears in this board's meeting minutes for those 2 years. We know that the executive director announced that she was amending the rules back in July of 2013. And thereafter, she gave updates to the board in March of 2014, but again, without any discussion of this rule appearing in the meeting minutes. And on June 23rd of 2014, these rules were submitted to GIRC apparently without the test scores ever being addressed. And so returning to the language of this board's own rulemaking, the scores the board set must mean that that's what the board thinks or thought was the minimum required to be able to make an evaluation of a client and communicate in English or other healthcare practitioners or with a 911 operator. But by that standards you set, that means that actually a majority of Americans couldn't meet this standard. As I noted in my letter, the mean scores for native-born people in the United States and native-born English speakers or native English speakers are both lower than this board's minimum scores. Indeed, it must be the case that licensed nurses couldn't meet the board standards because, again, the nursing board has a lower test score standard than this board does. That's why the scores this board settled on back in 2013, 2014, again, for reasons that I can't find from the records, are unreasonable and as my letter says, unconstitutional. Since my letter, I have also learned that I'm not the first person to ask this board to review and revise this rule. I know that the former director of the massage therapy program at Chandler Gilbert Community College requested changes in 2015 and 2017. And the director of the massage therapy program at Phoenix College made a similar request earlier this year, but no changes were ever made or addressed from what I can tell. And given this history, the question is, what was the board's justification for the rule in 2014? Why did the board settle on 24 25s for an aggregate score of 100? And does the board have any information today that justifies settling on those numbers? If so, I'd like to know what they are. And if not, I really urge this board to abandon the test scores that is set and rather adopt an English proficiency standard, as it must, according to the legislature, that is more in line with actual practice. Now, I did a little bit more research nationally, and the only other state that I could find that has an English proficiency requirement for massage therapists is Michigan. And Michigan's rule is very different than Arizona's. In Michigan, applicants who completed a massage therapy curriculum outside of the United States and whose educational program was taught in a language other than English are the only ones subject to an English testing score, like a TOEFL score. And the required score in Michigan for that small subcategory of people is 80 cumulative, with no particular subpart requirements. Again, the score that's required in Arizona is markedly broader than that and markedly higher than that. And so I would request that this board change its rule so that it is not unduly burdening people's ability to work in an honest and legal and honorable occupation because of their more limited English skills. Well, more limited meaning English skills that are roughly in line with, you know, more than half of the country. I know this is set up to take questions. I'm happy to take any questions that you may have.
Thank you. I do know that we are in the process of a GRC review, and one of the issues on the table is the TOEL and TOEFL. And so I appreciate what you've had to share. Are there any questions from the board members?
This is Kevin Ramsey. I don't particularly have any questions. You know, what your presentation is presented to us is more or less in line with our discussions with GRC currently. And, you know, it is something that we're looking at to try and even out across the board. There's a couple of different things. You know, you said from 2014 was the original application of this. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. The legislature adopted the particular requirement in 2013. This board then did rulemaking from 2013 to 2014, and the rule as it exists now was adopted in 2014.
Right. And so I know that we're kind of in the works preparing for figuring out what these next steps look like. So, you know, last year, Governor Ducey introduced a few things to make initiatives to be less burdensome on licensees and occupational certifications. And so it's in the discussion right now. But thank you for bringing up this information to us. I appreciated the read that you submitted to the director.
Are there any other questions from the board? Well, Mr. Avalar, I want to thank you very much for you taking your time in two ways. One, for the research that you have done, and for bringing us information, because personally, I know that the more information a person has, the better decision that they can make. So if you want a better answer, you ask a better question. So I want to thank you for that, and I appreciate you having been here.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you for your time and attention. You know, if the board has any further questions or anything else I might help with, I'm happy to add. I should only note that I know the board is going through GRC review right now, but I also strongly suspect that there are folks in the pipeline right now who are subject to this rule right now and maybe having problems with it. I don't know if there's anything the board can do for them at this time, but I would encourage that as well. You know, as I said in my letter, we exist to protect constitutional rights, and we do that primarily through litigation. Now, I like not having to sue where I don't have to, but I strongly suspect that there are some folks who are being hurt by this right now. And when we're particularly interested in making sure that those folks can get their license and go on to earn an honest living.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, so let us move on to item 7, items for board review and discussion and possible action. Upon a vote of the majority of a quorum, the board may go into executive session pursuant to ARS 38-431.03A2 to discuss or consider records exempt by law from public inspection, including the receipt and discussion of information or testimony that is specifically required to be maintained as confidential by state or federal law. So we will go to A, which is license application review, case 21-120, Hu Yang. Do we have our I'm going to say interpreter, and I don't think that's the term we use, on the line? And do we have Ms. Yang on the line?
Madam Chair, Mr. Chow was not scheduled to show up until 10 a.m.
Okay.
So, well, I'm here.
We can move on to the removal of waiver and statutory requirements for continuing education. Then we can come back to the Samuel Cortez matter. There will be a preliminary matter for the Samuel Cortez matter. Then we can move to Hua Yang, if that would help.
That wonderful. Thank you, Mr. Monahan.
Absolutely.
Okay, so let's go to item C, removal of waiver of renewal fees and late fees. Mr. Otterton, can you give us an update as to what's coming down from the governor's office?
Yes, Madam Chair, board members. We should have scheduled this a little bit earlier before today's meeting, but we've had such full agendas we did not get around to it. The authority for the license fee renewal waiver and the late fees waiver expired on September the 30th. So I'm going to recommend to the board today that you support to be in compliance with the governor's executive order that this sunset on December 31st, giving a few more days for individuals who are in the process. But we are at overtime past September the 30th.
Okay. Is there
any, take any questions on this if you have any?
Right. Any board member, do you have any questions concerning this?
This is Kevin Ramsey. This would be just strictly for the removal for just renewal fees and late fees. Would it impact any of the other changes from this year? Waiver of CEs, waiver of live CEs, waiver of the initial application fee, or is it just these two fees that we see here?
Madam Chair, Mr. Ramsey, it's just these two items here. The initial license fee was never waived. It was strictly for existing state licensees. They would have the renewal fee waived. As you know, the state permits people to let their license lapse, but still renew up to 3 years after their initial licensing. And so it also would have waived, and in fact did, waive the late fees incurred by anyone between their license expiration and this waiver. The waiver began on March the 1st of this year, just to remind you. And the other issue regarding continuing education is posted separately beneath this issue for discussion.
Thank you.
Mr. Augerton, I know we talked about possibly having a sliding scale, in other words, bringing it in slowly, but in light of what the governor's office has said, to be in compliance, we need to fully reinstigate the renewal fees and the late fees. Is that correct?
Madam Chair, that's correct, but actually that discussion was on the next item, not on this item.
Oh, okay.
This item really, this really was a sunsetting of the waiver. And then the next item we'll be discussing on implementation of that discussion.
Okay. So do we have a motion to come into compliance with the removal of renewal fees and late fees as of, I guess it would start on January 1st, 2021. So this would extend through December 31st, 2020.
Madam Chair, Emily Clark here. I make a motion that we go ahead and remove the waiver of the renewal fees and late fees through the at December 31st to come into compliance.
And Victoria Bowman, I will second that. Is there any discussion from board members? Okay, Mrs. Narrows, could we have a roll call vote, please?
Absolutely. Mr. Ramsey?
Yes.
Mr. Ortega?
Yes.
Mr. McLean?
Yes.
Vice Chair Clark?
Yes.
And Chair Bowman?
Yes.
The motion passes. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, let's move on to point D, statutory requirement for continuing education hours. Mr. Augerton, would you update us on this?
Madam Chair, again, this program started on March the 1st of this year, and primarily, I would remind everybody, was designed to offer current licensees an opportunity to remain employed and remain licensed, when in fact the ability to garner continuing education credits was practically impossible because many of the schools with live classes had canceled, and at that time, there was not an automatic ability to get online training. When you discuss this in a moment and you take a vote today, you have had previous discussion about going forward having the board accept online hours for any or all of the 24 continuing education hours requirement. If that's still the will of the board, you might incorporate that into your motion, and then we can make that available on the website for individuals who are renewing their licenses. Seamus may want to chime in on this because he and I have had some discussions about what the statutes grant you in terms of authority, but also limit you in terms of authority. So right now, we are not requesting or processing continuing education hours consistent with the governor's earlier executive order, but that's the purpose of this discussion now. And then I would just ask that if you are still supportive of allowing the staff to take online education to fill the requirements in the future, have some discussion on that as well.
Mr. Monahan, would you weigh in on this, please?
Absolutely, Chair Bowman. This is really a policy issue for the board. It's not so much a legal issue. I will tell you, you can't ignore your statutes, which I think you already pointed out. We can't take a piecemeal approach or, you know, a lowered required number approach. Basically, what's in this, if you reaffirm it and you say we're going to move forward with, you know, online courses, we'll accept online courses, that's fine. You may want to reach out to the Department of Health Services or the governor's office just to make sure that that's in line with everything that they are telling people to do right now. And then if that's what you choose to do, then, you know, you just make a motion to accept those online continuing education hours.
Well, thank you. For clarification, I believe that in statute we are required 24 hours, and it doesn't stipulate whether anything other than 24 hours, and that in rules we had that it was 12 hours would be in class and 12 hours could be online. Is that correct?
If you give me just a second.
Of course.
Well, this is Nick McLean. While we're waiting for Mr. Monahan, do we have a current expiration of this policy that we're currently in?
Madam Chair, Mr. McLean, that kind of is the question before you today. There's no precedent for really these two items ever before with the board. And the CE hours were waived by the board staff, consistent with the fee waiver as well, on March the 1st of this year to try to accommodate the ability for licensees to not be denied renewal because of their inability to get the hours. Since the advent of COVID and the further development of it here in the state, there are not as many training classes available, certainly classroom, for LMTs as there were prior to the arrival of the virus. Eventually, this language will have to be conformed as we go through the rule process on other issues. But there is no expiration because it's something that was done by the board and the board staff. And what the attorney had advised me, what I had proposed is not permissible, which was to give individuals an opportunity to get their training, that we phase this out over the next 12 months and say 6 hours the first year, 6 hours, and so forth. And the attorney has advised us, obviously referring to statute, that we do not have that ability to do so. So the issue becomes when the board wants to reestablish the requirement that in order to get the license renewed, the person will have to have 24 hours. Okay. And the only advantage now that we didn't have 6 months ago is that there is somewhat more online training available for the LMTs. And if the requirement is waived to go to the full 24 for online training, then they won't be searching for classes in person to fill those requirements.
Okay, thank you. My thoughts on it would be that what they're just now looking at having the vaccine coming out and being issued with the opportunity to slowly get back into in-person class while also having more opportunities for online training, that we may want to consider pushing this out to at least the June timeframe to give individuals an opportunity to take those classes in whichever manner that they would like to while still being able to stay current as more opportunities come available for them to get those CEs.
I'm kind of inclined to agree with Mr. McLean because we still don't know what the situation is with COVID and how soon in-person classes, for the most part overall, will most likely resume. I think we need to revisit this as the situations present itself with the health, the vaccines, the COVID, and everything. I do know that there are a few individuals that are doing in-person classes, although they are limited in the number of people they have in the classes. But there are still some places that are offering in-person classes, as well as many more offering online classes. So I think it would be good to continue with this until maybe we can revisit in March and see where things are situated in March. And then if we have to, we can push it out to June and just kind of see where the industry is with these classes. I think that would be advisable. I don't know what anybody else thinks, but I'm kind of inclined to go with Mr. McLean on this one.
And Chair Bowman, just to answer your question, you are correct that it's 24 hours, 12 of which may be taken by distance learning education, aka online. So you are correct in that respect.
So for clarification, Mr. Monahan, it is 24 hours in statute, and then by rule, it was decided that 12 would be in class and 12. Okay, thank you. So I would like to weigh in and say that this last year has changed the way we do a lot of things. And I'm always concerned about those individuals, our licensed massage therapy therapists that live at a distance and that they are not close to a school in order to get their 12 hours. And what they end up having to do is travel to the location, have their travel costs, have their hotel costs, and then have their class. And they lose more work time than those of us that perhaps live in a city where there is a school. And I know that webinars, as we're being very successful on a webinar today, has changed the way that we do things. I also recognize that a lot of what we do is hands-on. So that invokes an interesting dilemma, perhaps, or opportunity. So I think at this time, there are a few places that are offering classes. There are a few places that are offering webinars. And so I would like to see that we allow the 24 hours to be attained, however that LMT can obtain them, at least at this time, and then again revisit it in March or June or whenever, depending upon the pulse of the COVID situation.
Madam Chair, this is Nick McLean. I'm inclined to agree with most of it. However, I look at two things here. One, a LMT chooses to work where they're going to go work, with maybe not thinking about the CEs. However, I've seen in our year of me being on this board, we've had multiple concerns or accusations in regards to different physical aspects. Everything from draping to the proper positioning and how far the extent of a particular modality would go. So I would, if we look at pushing it to March or even June, I would believe that we would still need some type of hands-on CEs for some of the classes that we do, while many others can probably go to a webinar or strictly online.
Thank you.
This is Kevin Ramsey. This is a difficult subject to approach. I've kind of done some research on some other states' board actions. You know, that's really relative to this same one here. Quite a few other states have had updates and stipulations. To submit a waiver for continued education, you know, they still require them to be, submitting proof of continued ed, but they have the option now that say, you know, if your business was impacted heavily or it's creating a financial burden that you have, medical bills that are kind of creating this burden, that you can submit a waiver for requesting this. And I don't know if that's possible. You know, Mr. Monahan, you had mentioned, we want to keep our action in line with, statute and rule. And so I don't know if creating that sort of work line would be more difficult. But I would say that, you know, right now, I don't know how easy it would be or how burdensome it would be to lift this. I would think, you know, to agree with, you know, April to June, we can kind of bring this back around to have a more knowledgeable talk about, you know, bringing these back in. But I think kind of extending this till that time to ease the burden on, you know, a particularly a career that is difficult to social distance with. I think pushing out till then, I'm not sure if we can talk about, you know, allowing all of them to be online as opposed to live because of that rule, that regulation rule. But I think we still kind of want to be patient on this one for at least several more months, until I guess this kind of surge that we're seeing again starts back out.
Okay, so we've had a discussion, and are there board suggestions as to how we would handle this? What would we like to do? We've changed the renewal fees and late fees, and it is prudent that we begin bringing the CEs back into play. So suggestions from board members as to what you would like to see. I'll just toss this out. We could, by the second quarter, so April 1st, require 6 hours, and then by the end of June, which would be July 1st, require 12 hours, and then the next quarter require 18 hours, and then by the end of the year, we could require the full 24 hours. And at this time, allow them to be in any manner that they get them, whether it be online, in class, or webinar.
I believe that Mr. Ogerton had mentioned that going in a step ladder, stepped approach like that wouldn't be possible, according to our council. Maybe something like, you know, we continue, since we're adding in the renewal fees and late fees starting January 1st, maybe the next step from there would be, you know, in April, we can lift the waiver for CE, but allow them to be all online. And then maybe in June or July, we can revisit, you know, what do they need to be live or do they need to be online? I'm not sure if that's kind of what my question was towards you, Mr. Monahan, was, can we allow them to be all online for submission?
Thank you for that question, Member Ramsey. Again, that's a policy question, and I really encourage the board to ask Tom to reach out to determine how, you know, again, how health services and the governor's office, wants to handle these, especially when it comes to, you know, I can't ever advise you not to follow your statutes and rules. You know, I understand the situation. You've done a good job of articulating why you need to make some changes. But, you know, I would encourage you to direct Tom to talk to other executive directors and stakeholders, and then re-agendize this for the January meeting to, you know, to make a decision, an informed decision based on all your options.
Thank you. Is there any further discussion?
Madam Chair, if I can just make a plug here. The number one criticality on this issue is to provide notice, and particularly advance notice, for the database of 30,000 LMTs in the state, of which, you know, 10 or 11 are active, because the cost of continuing education, the challenge of scheduling during a pandemic, and so forth, whatever the board decides to do, I would just plead for as much advance notice before we make substantial changes in order for people to accommodate the return of the requirement in their license renewal process. Thanks.
Thank you.
Well, in light of that, then, you know, Mr. Augerton, if I can request that maybe we can get a discussion going with other boards and other sources to kind of see, you know, an efficient action point towards this. But I think for right now, it sounds like many of us are kind of leaning towards, you know, continuing this waiver for at least the next 3 months. And so if we want to re-agendize this one specifically to the April meeting, and then, you know, if you have something for us, you know, to be a little bit better informed or have more options to go with next month in January, I think that would be helpful. Is there any other discussion on that, or is everybody okay if I make a motion for that?
Yeah, just
let's support that.
Ramsey, Mr. Monahan, do we need a motion to move this to the January meeting or a meeting in the future?
Yes, I would make a motion to continue this matter and also to direct Tom to reach out to the relevant parties or to help determine options. And I'll work with Tom on that too as well.
Okay, thank you. Yes, Mr. Ramsey, you may make a motion.
All right, this is Kevin Ramsey, and I'll move that we extend this discussion at the April board meeting, as well as request the director, Mr. Augerton, to work with other parties and individuals that could kind of help us create an informed decision and have a discussion about that in the January meeting.
Nick McLean, I second.
Okay, so I have a question. You moved to make a decision in April, but you want a discussion in January. Is that correct, Mr. Ramsey?
I would like to move this decision for the statutory requirement for continuing education hours to move that to the April meeting, but to have it agendized for further discussion in January.
Thank you.
Madam Chair.
Yes.
If I may.
Yes, Mrs.
Mr. Ramsey, if it might be a better option if you keep your motion, stay away from the specific months that you want it to come back to the board, because you've already asked that it be continued to a future meeting, and then that allows the executive director some flexibility to gather that information and return it to the board. We have heard from your discussion itself the specific instructions on the time frame for when you want these discussions to happen versus a decision to happen, but I think it would be prudent for the board to leave it a little more broad to give staff that time to gather that information for your consideration.
Sure. Yeah. Thank you.
Okay. So, Mr. McLean, will you withdraw your second?
Withdrawn.
Okay. Thank you. Mr. Ramsey, would you restate your motion, please?
Sure. I will withdraw my previous motion. And I will create a new motion to move this discussion on statutory requirement for continued education to a future meeting, and request that Mr. Augerton work with other interested parties to better inform us again at a new future meeting.
Thank you. Do I have a second?
Emily Clark, second.
Okay. Mrs. Steros, could we have a roll call vote, please?
Absolutely. Thank you very much for that clarification. Roll call vote to continue and instruct the ED to further research this matter with interested parties. Mr. Ramsey?
Yes.
Mr. Ortega?
Yes.
Mr. McLean?
Yes.
Vice Chair Clark?
Yes.
And Chair Bowman?
Yes.
The motion passes unanimous. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, let's move on to item B, which is a formal hearing review, case number 20140, Samuel Cardes. Mr. Monahan, would you like to open this up, please?
Yeah, I will. I'm actually going to kick it over to Mr. Pastillo.
Hey, Kitty. Hey, Kitty.
I'm sorry, Seamus, I'm going to interrupt you for a second. If you're currently not addressing the board, could you please keep your line on mute to help with feedback? Thank you.
Okay, so again, I'm going to send it over to Mr. Castillo. He is counsel for Mr. Cortez, and he has some preliminary matters to discuss first.
Thank you. Please unmute yourself, Mr. Castillo.
He was just there.
Apologies.
Thank you.
Yes, Madam Chair, I have just recently been engaged to assist Mr. Cortez, and I am a member of the Arizona Bar, although my main office is in San Francisco. I happen to be admitted to the Arizona Bar from when I practiced here several years ago in the late 80s. I need some time to, first of all, get up to snuff on the facts of this case. And second, I need some time to obtain a certificate from California that can be provided to the Arizona Bar stating that I'm in compliance in California so that I can become active in Arizona and represent Mr. Cortez in this case. So I would respectfully ask the board if we can defer consideration of this matter until a future date when I will have had more time to familiarize myself with all the facts and become reactivated in the Arizona Bar.
Do you feel that 30 days is sufficient time, or would 60 be more realistic?
Given that it's going to take California a bit of time, I think 60 days would actually be extremely helpful.
The state does not object to that, as they did provide us a continuation from November to December.
Right. Thank you. Okay. So we need a motion to delay or... What's the word?
Madam Chair, it would be to grant counsel's request for a continuance. But before we proceed, I'm sorry for interrupting. Mr. Pasillo, if you could just identify yourself using your full name for the record, please.
Yes. My full legal name is Bernardino Pastillo. I believe in the Arizona Bar, I may be listed as Bernie, which is the name I go by. And my Arizona Bar number is 011669.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay, so do we have a motion to grant a continuance of this for 60 days or upon notice of the issuance of his Arizona license?
Emily Clark, I'll make a motion that we grant counsel's continuance for 60 days to the February meeting, or unless he has whatever it was that you said by the Arizona Bar.
Right. Is there a second?
Yep, Nick McLean, I'll second.
Mrs. Cisneros, could we have a roll call vote?
Absolutely. Thank you. Mr. Ramsey?
Yes.
Mr. Ortega?
Yes.
Mr. McLean?
Yes.
Vice Chair Clark?
Yes.
And Chair Bowman?
Yes.
The motion passes. Thank you.
Okay. The board and Madam Chair, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you. So let's take a 10-minute break and come back at 10 a.m. I'm calling the meeting back to order. It is 10 a.m. on Monday, December 14th, 2020. This is the continuance of the Arizona State Board of Massage Therapy Board meeting. So now I would like to bring forward case 21-120, Hugh Yang. And first I would like to know if Mr. Chow is on the line, and if so, would you identify yourself?
I'm here. I'm Hua Yang.
Thank you. And
thank you.
And your name?
Madam Chair, that was not Mr. Chow. You might ask for him a second time.
Right. Winston Chow? Are you on the line? He might need to unmute himself.
I need a translator, please.
Thank you. We're
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, good morning.
Would you identify yourself, please? Mr. Chow, would you identify yourself?
Good morning. This is co-interpreter Winston Chow, C-H-O-U.
Thank you. Thank you for being here today. Okay. Ms. Yang, would you identify yourself, please?
Yang, 女士, 请告诉我们您的名字。 No response. Let me repeat again. 杨女士, 请说您的名字。
Her mic is
muted.
Muted. Ms. Yang, would you unmute your mic, please?
杨女士, 请你先按你的那个星星了, 按6号。 不然我们听不见。
So while we're waiting for that, I would like to ask if Ms. Yang is represented by an attorney, and if so, would he please, he or she, please identify
yourself?
听到我的声音了。谢谢。
Thank you.
大声讲，你的声音太小。好，我是华阳。
My name's Huayang.
大家好。Good
morning, everybody.
Thank you. And Mr. Yang, are you an attorney?
杨女士，有没有律师代表你？
没有，我这次是我自己。
No. No, just myself.
Thank you.
Okay.
So this is... Okay, Ms. Yang, I will ask you not to interrupt until we ask specific questions, please.
杨女士，请跟我们合作。当没有问你问题的时候，请不要回答，不要干扰整个那个听证会的过程。知道了，谢谢。
We will give you
understand.
Time. Thank you. We will give you time for your explanation.
Yeah, 放心，我们会给你足够的时间来解释。好。Okay.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, so this is a license application review.
Madam Chair, I'm sorry for interrupting. I just wanted to clarify that this has been agendized for initial case review. It is not a licensing application matter.
It's an initial case review?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Noted.
这个呢，最主要的哈，这个今天要处理的是关于这个个案的，应该要决定怎么做。Okay.
So, Mr. Monahan, well, maybe Ms. Cisneros, would you please read us the complaint summary?
Chair Bowman, this is Seamus, Assistant Attorney General. I think you'll understand better. It's a good call. I think you'll understand better after Andrea gives her summary.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm
sorry, Mr. Chow, go ahead.
他最主要哈，现在是说有关部门，他是说这件事情，他现在诉说到底情况是怎么样，请听就好。知道了。
Ms. Cisneros, go ahead.
Absolutely. Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the board. On March 5th of this year, the respondent was arrested for solicitation and prostitution at the spa where she was employed as the result of an undercover operation conducted by detectives. The district attorney ultimately declined.
Okay. Please allow Mr. Chow time to interpret. Thank you.
Absolutely. Mr. Chow, if you could wait briefly, I'll just go through a couple sentences and then I'll give you a chance to interpret, if that's okay.
Okay, please.
Absolutely. And I'll start over. March 5th was when the respondent was arrested for solicitation and prostitution at her place of employment as a result of an undercover operation conducted by detectives. The district attorney ultimately declined to criminally prosecute the respondent, and the matter was disposed of on June 22nd, 2020. Mr. Chow?
最主要的一点，这个个案是在今年的3月5号。 这个当事人，杨女士，被控诉了，是因为便利艇探里面的，是说有非法的王室的妓女的这个买卖的情况，但是在今年里面，6月22号的时候，就是司法的部门就把这个的起诉的罪是降低成不是妓女罪，只是单单只是在自行这个按摩的时候违规。 就是顾客的器官就是说暴露。
Thank you. On May 16th of this year, the board received respondent's license application. On July 8th, 2020, during the course of the usual license application review, the board received a license verification from the Nevada board, which indicated that the respondent's Nevada license was in good standing, and as such, she received an Arizona massage therapy license on July 16th, 2020, by the pathway of reciprocal licensure. The respondent did not disclose the pending criminal matter on her license application. Mr. Chow, please.
最主要的情况就是在5月16号的时候，我们申请到当事人的就是对这个按摩的执照的那个就是延期的申请。但是7月8号的时候，在赌城那边，他有看到说当事人对这个在 Arizona 这州里面，他还是有效的这个按摩的执照。但是在7月16号的时候，我们发现到说。 在申请表格上的时候，必须要填写有关，就是任何的情况底下，但是申请人并没有诚实的报告关于这件事情。
Thank you. On September 21st, 2020, the board received notification from the Nevada board indicating that respondent's Nevada license was revoked for a period of 5 years based on the March 2020 arrest. According to the Nevada board's order, the complaint and notice of hearing was signed and dated July 17th of this year, which was the day after the respondent received her Arizona license. The formal hearing was held on August 19th, and respondent's Nevada license was revoked effective August 31st, 2020. The respondent did not disclose the pending Nevada investigation on her license application, and she did not report the revocation of her Nevada license to this board. And that concludes my presentation. Thank you.
最主要的情况底下，就是在今年9月23号，我们收到赌城那边，就是关于当事人申请他延期驾照被拒绝的原因，是根据在7月17号的时候的报告里面，所以这个的情况是根据在今年3月5号，就是在这个 Arizona 这州所发生的事故，所以8月19号的时候，他们有开了。 就是在赌城的会议里面，所以就是说拒绝的，就是不给杨女士在赌城的那一周里面的按摩的执照。所以根据这个情况底下，是因为最主要的原因是说这件的事故没有诚实的在申请表格按着时间上呈报给有关的单位。
Thank you.
谢谢。
Okay, so Mr. Monahan, do I open this up for discussion with the board? How do I proceed forward?
That's up to you. You can ask questions of the complainant, of the respondent. You can kick it to the board to discuss. We can go into executive session for legal advice if you'd like to discuss the case and how to move forward.
Okay.
Madam Chair, sorry for interrupting. You could ask the respondent if she'd like to make an opening statement or if she'd like to proceed with board questions and then every other option that Seamus mentioned.
Okay. Mr. Chow, would you Okay, so I think I would like to open this for Ms. Yang to make an opening statement.
现在刚才他们所讨论说应该下部怎么样，所以司法部门跟不同的部门面产生结果呢？今天主持会议的这个女主席，她是说她决定开始就是让杨女士哈当事人，就是说你对这件事情有没有说还没有进到程序之前有没有什么要陈述要说的？
有。
Yes.
Go ahead.
请说。我先说明一点，3月5号卧底到了马萨奇那个卧底到那个饭，我当时是坐了半个小时，我给他按了22分钟翻过来，我是给他盖好被单，他自己接开过来，后来以后我没有说任何话。 然后他自己在那诱导我说些什么的，你们要多少钱多少钱，但是我没有说任何话。然后这时候我就觉得这个人怎么这么怪，这么奇怪。这时候警察就从外面冲进来了。进来以后这个事情的经过，因为我自己做什么我很清楚，我根本没有做任何犯罪犯法违规的行为。所以我是在2年前就有意想申请安桑纳的执照。 但那个时候需要考托福，所以我没有申请。然后今年年初我在网上看到了我符合条件，所以我在5月16号递交了申请，申请阿利桑那的按摩执照。当时这个时候内达华州的按摩执照是仍然有效，我是符合申请执照的任何条件。另外一点，你让我都讲下去还是你翻译一段我再讲呢？
你等一下，I told her please hold on the second part. Okay, I would like to explain what happened on the March 5th. The customer that's undercover protected and came, and I do he requests for the half hour massage. So after the 20 minutes, and we turn over, and he just uncovered for himself. And he acts very weird and also say something, but I did not respond. I did not say back and anything on that one. The reason why 2 years ago, I would like to apply for the Arizona massage license because I'm not qualified for the condition. But this year, when I saw that the requirement and I met it, so I applied on May 16th for Arizona massage license. But during my application and that day, I still have an effective Nevada massage license. 请继续。
他提到了就说是我是有意想隐瞒，就是我是有这个case的事儿。 为什么呢？这个 case 呢，是因为我是至终只是按摩，我没有说任何话。这时就是到后面的法庭出示的那个文件显示，他没有起诉我，没有起诉任何起诉，因为我没有做违法的事，没有做犯罪的事，那他不可能，因为他根据那个当时的录音和当时的情况调查，因为我没有这些事情，没有这些罪行，所以没有起诉我，这是第一点。因为我自己知道我在按摩时候所做的行为。 所以我是没有犯罪，我没有做任何不当的行为，所以我符合申请执照的条件，这是一点。再一个，这个是关于 AR 是 3, 2, 4, 2, 2, 2 还有括弧的 A 还有括弧的 7 括弧的 C 等项规定，我从来没有涉及到任何卖淫、拉客或者其他类似违法违规或者道德品质败坏的罪行，因为我从来没有任何犯罪记录。 所以在这种情况下，因为正好是年初，也没有事，就我在网上，所以我才去申请这个执照。你让我停一下，等会再说吗？还是你先翻译一下，麻烦。Okay,
I would like continue to talk. I did not disclose during my application on the form about the incident because after that the church I did not do nothing and I against the law. And I realized what I'm doing, and they the case they dismissed later on. And regarding for the violation for AR-24-224-A7C and that, you know, trust, and I did not, you know, do anything wrong on that one. But during my application that day, I qualified for the license. I still have a Las Vegas, the Nevada, the state active massage license. 请继续。
这个呢是7月8号呢法庭呢判决下来没有起诉我，就是呢根本就没有起诉，就是我根本就无罪。然后呢这个说明我是。你等一下，你等一下。
On the day July the 8th, the court dropped the charge because I did not do anything wrong.
Thank you.
Yes, yeah.
Okay, so Mr. Monahan, in our packet, I notice that we have, and I don't know which page it's on, it is to Ms. Tang Hu, and I don't know if it's...
Madam Chair.
Yes.
I'm sorry for interrupting you. Before you specify which document you're referring to, that was added to the case inadvertently by staff. That does not belong to this case. It does not apply.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, this is Nick McLean. Could I get clarification from Investigator White in regards to her claim that her case was dismissed by Nevada?
Mr. McLean, I'm sorry for interrupting. I don't believe she said the case was dismissed by Nevada. She was referring to the criminal matter.
Yeah. What happened
was... And she had indicated that her license in Nevada was still in good standing when she applied for a license here.
Right. I understand that. But I thought she also said that her charges against her were dropped. So...
Right, and those were the charges she was referring to from the criminal matter, not the Nevada investigation.
There's two different investigations. One is criminal matter by the Nevada, the Las Vegas police, and the second one is by the Nevada massage board. Her criminal matter was dropped for what reason it doesn't say, but the board held a hearing for, and they revoked her license at that point.
All right.
Once her license are revoked, her license are revoked across the board, across the United States. They put into the system, and it shows that her license were removed from her from a location. So every municipality I can get a municipality that has a license that she's holding have the duty to bring them before the board and remove those licenses once it's been revoked in another location.
Okay, thank you, Mr. White.
Mr. Monahan, would you weigh in on that comment? It, you know, is it typical that when a license is revoked in another state, it is then suspect in any other state?
Well, the board does have a duty to investigate a revoked license in another state. Especially when that license was the basis of the license that we provided. So, again, as they stated, the criminal matters were dropped. The Nevada Massage Board used the documents from that investigation, including one of the police officers, and after testimony was given at a formal hearing, they revoked the license. So that's where we got the notice, and that's why it's in front of you today.
Thank you. And we do not have the discussion as to how the case was presented to the Nevada board.
No, most boards don't dispel the entirety of their discussion with the board. They'd like most of them put the final outcome of the board on what they put on paper. What I gave you is all that we usually get.
Thank you. Mr. Ortega?
Yes, I don't see where there's much discussion that we need to have. It seems our hands are tied on this, because under ARS 32-4253, number 7, having a license or certificate revoked or suspended, or any other disciplinary action taken or an application for licensure or certification refused, revoked, or suspended by the proper authorities of another state, territory, or country. She can't have a license here. I mean, her problem is with Nevada. Whatever happened in her court case is, I think, irrelevant to us, because we have to follow our statutes.
Thank you.
Well, and this is Seamus Monahan, Assistant Attorney General. As Andrea pointed out, the board did receive documentation in June or July that said she was in good standing, and that's why she was given the license. So she was legally allowed to have that license, but this was opened as a complaint because afterwards she was revoked, and then we determined that she knew about these investigations and charges when she filed her application.
Right. On her licensing application, she fraudulently said no, that she was not currently under investigation. So she did not disclose that to us on 516, when in fact Nevada goes through its processes just as we do, and things didn't come up until later.
Madam Chair, my apologies for interrupting. Can we take a brief step back and allow Mr. Chow to offer Ms. Yang some commentary from the board's discussion thus far?
I apologize. Absolutely, Andrew.
Certainly.
Thank you. 因为Nevada的这个是你的第一个最主要的，你有按摩师执照的那个许可，所以当你这个主要的，就是说这一周里面的按摩执照被吊销的时候，全美国其他的，因为都是负的，它是根据这个Nevada的你按摩的那个执照，所以它就会有权利撤销，所以就是说你最主要的第一的是在Nevada的这个按摩的执照。 所以当这个执照被吊销的时候，其他的州也可以再被吊销。第二，他讨论的一点是你说的没有错，但是他的奏效是形式上的你的，但是其他的违规的话还是会出现。第三是说每一州的话，他有他自己的自主权，但是他这一州的话，他是根据最主要的这一州，所以你要回到的根本的。 就是Nevada的这个按摩的执照里面，它必须要存在。所以这个第一不存在的话，接下来的后面呢都自然的不存在。那么第四要解释的一点呢，就最主要的一点哈，是说当时候你申请表格上它有一项写的很清楚的，是说你现在有没有在还在处理还没有解决的，就是案件的当中，你的填写表格上是没有的。 其实是不正确的，所以他还在处理的当中，所以你没有按时的报告说这件事情，因为不是事情的结果了没有，而是说有没有这样的还在没有处理案中在审当中，但是申请表格上没有明显的写出来。Thank
you.
我能讲话吗？Can
I say something?
Yes.
请说。
就算是开始这样说，但是呢，我是在1月1号呢，给阿里桑那那个按摩协会，就是写了封信，也附上了法庭的文件。他就说呢，事实呢证明呢，就是呢，我没有起诉，我是无罪的。无罪的话，那你内华达州，你取消我的 license 本来就是错误的。这个呢，我本来就是因为现在疫情期间，我是准备找律师要做这个事儿的。因为啥？你呢给我这个 license。 license的合理性呢是什么根据？你要取消的话有个根据，你根据如果是我犯罪了、违规了、违法了，那是我不符合这个要求，你取消我的 license 是对的。但是呢，我没有任何犯罪记录，我没有违规任何法规，我没有做任何那个什么就是违法的事、违规的事、道德统一这方面的事。 那你本来取消我的 license 是不合理的，对吧？你要取消 license 要有个依据，那你依据是什么呢？这是这一点，对吧？那你的就是本身你们的，就是来我的律师，就是我律师呢，他叫那个 Jack， 他是他叫 Jack， 不称，他的电话是702-382。
你等一下，你 ，OK， 这是 interpreter。你等一下哈，我先翻译一下，他刚才都解释告诉你了，是因为你的主要的，你等一下。OK，
谢谢我马上。
Explain that, you know. What is the reason and the guideline like after approval of my Arizona license and later on revoke? So depend on what kind of law, and like I did respond on the one, the traditional in my case, they dismissed, so I did not doing any wrong. So the one like revoke my license from Nevada message board is wrong, but because of the COVID-19, I don't have time to deal with that yet. So she have something while you say that. 请继续说。
但是呢，就说是因为我自己的所作所为，我很清楚，因为我没有做违法犯罪的行为，所以呢，事实证明呢，法庭呢判决是根本就没有起诉我，因为我没有犯罪，所以呢，我就想那个，总而言之，我就是不多说。总而言之，就说我是在5月16号申请的阿利桑那执照，7月16号呢，我拿到了执照，但是呢，在8月31号，内华达呢就是吊销我的执照，也就是说呢。我在申请阿利桑那执照的时候呢，我内华达州的执照是在有效期范围内，而且呢，再强调一点，我呢没有任何犯罪记录，法庭也没起诉我，所以呢我是合法的。你要取消执照，你就有个依据，对吧？所以呢，我再说一点，我是无罪的，没有任何犯罪记录。然后呢，我真诚的请求阿利桑那按摩协会的成员们无私公正的审查我的案例，给我机会。因为呢，我根本就没有犯罪。麻烦你一下，乔先生。
I would like to emphasize, like the first, I would like to mention about on May 16, I applied the Arizona massage license, and the board on the July the 16, and they approved that. But later on the August 31st, Nevada State. Massage license board is revoked my license, but you know, I do qualify for the Arizona massage license. So I would like, you know, the board member to reconsider the decision. So I did not do anything wrong. I know what I'm doing. I did not against the law. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Ortega, would you please state the statute regards to this case that you brought up?
Yes, it would be ARS 324253, and it would be number 7, having a license or certificate revoked or suspended, or any other disciplinary action taken, or an application for licensure or certification refused, revoked, or suspended by the proper authorities of any, of another state, territory, or country. I mean, historically, anytime we have had someone come before us who's had their license suspended in another state, we refuse them a license. I mean, as long as I've been on the board, that's historically been our actions. And I don't see any reason it should be any different now.
Well, this is Seamus Monahan, Assistant Attorney General. This is not an application review. She already has a valid license that we issued her. So you are right. This number 7 under 4253 does address the issue. But what the board needs to decide now is whether these facts rise to the level of revocation. And if they do, then your option is to move this forward to a formal hearing for license revocation.
And if I can, Madam Chair, if I can piggyback on that quickly, there's also not just the issue of the fact that her license was revoked in Nevada. The board also has for consideration the fact that there were pending matters against her that were not disclosed on her initial license application, and the fact that she did not report the license revocation to us after she held a license in Arizona.
Yes, thank you. And so what I want to state is, had we known about the case in Nevada, we choose to delay the issuance of a license until that matter is concluded. And so we had a fraudulent application, which we did not know of, so we issued the license because things seemed to be in order. However, they weren't in order, and I agree with Mr. Ortega. Had that been the case, had we known that, we would have delayed it, and then we would have revisited it in September or whenever Nevada was finished. So I move that we take
Madam Chair, I'm sorry for interrupting you. If we could take another brief break to allow Mr. Chow to interpret the respondent.
Thank you.
And Mr. Chow, yes. I'm sorry, before you begin, when you conclude summarizing for Ms. Yang the board's discussion, please inform her that the board at this time is not asking her for a statement. We're just trying to get her up to speed on what the board's discussed thus far.
Okay. 现在情况是这样哈，他们双方的讨论的结果是说什么？现在是没有错。第一，先回答你的问题的，是根据宪法里面哈，就是说当申请人的话在任何一个州啊，主要是开始那州的话，你又知道说别的州可以拿的时候，但是就算是任何州里面，如果说有一州的话撤销你的那个拒绝你的那个按摩师的执照的话。 就是我们这一州的话有权利可以重新考虑，您讲的是没有错。第二个问题是说，当你申请说并没有这个，当时候我们在不知情的情况底下，因为申请表格上的时候你没有填，没有告诉我们是说你现在还在别州在什么地方没有，但是这一项里面你并没有写，所以我们没有进一步的调查。第三，现在我们不是说你的执照有没有效。 你现在还是有效，但是问题是说，因为别州现在撤销了你的那个按摩师的执照，所以我们这一州的话哈，就是考虑要怎么样进行这一步骤。那么接下来情况哈，我们现在不是庭审的时候，所以我们不需要全部的，就是说，现在我们大概知道你情况底下了，现在我们不接受你任何所说的，现在我们是讨论下一步应该怎么做。所以根据你那个情况底下哈。 申请的时候是A223-253.7的话，这项的是宪法的条例。让任何一州里面，如果对当事人的执照被吊销的时候，我们这一州有权利的去重新的参考，要怎么处理你有效的驾照，你的那个按摩师的执照。
我能说一句话吗？Can
I say something?
Yes, please.
请说。好。
就说是那个吊销执照的，因为我这个比较特殊，因为呢，他吊销是根据你犯罪了、违规了、犯法了是吊销。但是呢，我那个你所做所为，我知道，所以呢，事实证明法庭的文件呢根本就没有起诉我，他就说我根本无罪。所以呢，我这个是比较特殊，所以呢，请求阿里桑那协会的人呢给我机会，我的审查，谢谢。
Okay. The way Nevada State must have according for the charge, but the charge later dismissed, so they mishandled the case. So I would like Arsenal, Arizona State Massage Board reconsider the decision and give me another chance. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, so Mr. Chow, I realize you are the interpreter, and so I didn't realize she wanted to say something. So please clarify that to me in the future. Okay. So we need to come to a decision. And my thoughts, I'll open it up to board discussion, is that we should offer a consent agreement to surrender license and give her 30 days, at which time, should that not be so, that the matter would be moved to a formal hearing. Was there a discussion, please?
I'm sorry, was that moved to a formal hearing?
Yes.
Chair Bowman, okay, thank you. Sorry, it just cut out.
And if that was a motion, Chair Bowman, I second the motion.
We would also want to state the factual, we want to adopt factual allegations and potential violations of law, and I can help you with the potential violations of law.
Okay. So, Mr. Chow, would you communicate that to Ms. Yang?
杨女士现在他们决定说因为今天本来只是了解是只是开场礼的话不应该进到全部车程但是既然是进了这部分了现在听了那情况底下那么现在主持会议的这个女主席她决定一点是说要到一个什么嘛就是听证会的过程所以在听证会的双方才会提出证据那么已经有赋予了现在通过了 所以在30天左右的时候，就会定下下一次听证会的日期，到时候双方提出证据，最后他们就会做决定。是这样的。So,
Mr. Monahan, would you like to state, since we have a motion and a second, the findings of fact that belong in this case as well as the conclusions of law?
Well, so Chair Bowman, so your factual allegations are based on the facts as they're contained in the board's investigatory report.
Okay.
And then your potential violations of law, as we discussed, 4253 number 2, using fraud, deceit, or misrepresentation in obtaining or attempting to obtain a license or renewal. Number 6, engaging in any practice or in any act or practice in violation of this chapter, any board rule, or aiding, abetting, or assisting any other person in the violation of these provisions or rules. Number 7, having a license or certificate revoked or suspended or any other disciplinary action taken. Number 19, failure to report to the board any act or omission of a licensee or applicant or any other person who violates this chapter. And lastly, number 23, providing massage therapy services that are any way linked to the, I'm sorry, violating this chapter, board, or rules, or written order of the board. Does that state the potential violations of law as you see them?
Yes. Thank you.
Can we have the seconder also confirm, please?
Yes, Emily Clark, second.
Thank you.
And one more clarification, Madam Chair. The referral to formal hearing, will the board be seeking license revocation?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, let's have a roll call vote.
Absolutely, and I'll repeat that motion back just so everyone's clear on what the violations are. It's 4253 numbers 2, 6, 7, 19, and 23. The motion is to offer a consent agreement for voluntary surrender. If not signed in 30 days, the matter will be referred to a formal hearing for license revocation. Roll call vote, Mr. Ramsey?
Yes.
Mr. Ortega?
Yes.
Mr. McLean?
Yes.
Vice Chair Clark?
Yes.
And Chair Bowman?
Yes.
The motion passes. Thank you.
Mr. Chow, would you communicate that, please, to Ms. Yang?
杨女士现在他们的这个 Arizona 这一周的按摩协会的会员他们做以下的决定。第一的话是告诉你，在30天之内你必须要自动的，就是说，把你的那个 Arizona 这一周的按摩执照，就是加回来，你自动的，就是说取消。如果不是的话，他接下来在30天 左右的话，就安排一个听证会。听证会最主要的是说有六项的，第一主要的是讲的一点是，你在申请表格上有欺诈的成分，因为没有讲事实的报告。第二的话，他是根据你就说他是按摩的申请表格上就是有不完整的资料。第三就是说，当这些事情的时候，你没有书面上的通知，就是有关的部门，就你已经有在案的情况底下，那么接下来的四五六的话，最主要的一点是，你的虽然他在这个情况底下是批准了你有有效的牙省的这个按摩师的执照，但是接下来要处理的是，因为有别州的有案件的时候没有如实的报道，而且接下来是别州里面有撤销了，无论是说他们是对或者错，是根据他们结果底下，所以没有处理的话，我们这时候有权利。所以呢，最后就很简单的，就告诉你的，30天之内，如果你不自动的，就是说取消你，把你的按摩师的执照的话撤销的话，接下来他们安排就是听证会，到听证会的时候，你可以双方提出你的证据。
我能解释一句吗
？Thank you.
Can I explain something?
No.
Not at this time. No.
很抱歉，不行，因为已经决定了。
Mr. Chow, if you could please inform the respondent as well that she will be hearing from board staff shortly.
你会哈得到我们书面通知，什么时候哈就是听证会，你到时你可以回答书面上。
Okay, thank you.
谢谢。
Okay, just a minute, please.
请等一下。
Okay.
Madam Chair, can we dismiss the interpreter since that matter has concluded?
Yes, indeed. Mr. Chow, thank you so much for being here. We appreciate
Thank you, everyone.
Okay.
Thank you.
Have a great day.
Thank you.
Sure. And oh, bye-bye.
Let us move on now to the Executive Director's Report.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This next issue, you'll recall from a previous board meeting where there was a discussion, and that discussion was supposed to have taken place at today's meeting with our advisory group that was assisting the board with regard to a response from the Governor's Regulatory Review Committee, or Council rather, and that has been bumped until January. So the testimony originally planned by those individuals is on hold, but will reappear on January the 25th. But one of the items we discussed at that time, which I think the idea was suggested by the chair, was to do a survey on the website and to add it to our correspondence to the active licensed therapists to determine what effect the current COVID pandemic has had on their practice, both on a personal basis and on a professional basis. And if you've been to the website, you may have already seen the fact that we've gone live with the survey, although it's gone through a couple of iterations and it really doesn't become official until January the 1st, because it's dated for next year. But we have begun to take input and have statistically totaled those. And in a second, Tony will put up some of our preliminary response. But one of the things that Mara Concordia had proposed specifically was the concept that going forward, even after the vaccine becomes available in the communities around the state, that it would be necessary for a licensed therapist to understand that anyone who was formerly had COVID would need to have treatment done, at least with an awareness, if not different applications, as a result of having been exposed to the virus and still be, in many cases, going through recovery. And one of the questions being asked in the survey was, is there any interest on the part of LMTs to be able to access training provided by the board on the website with the specific new protocols for massage therapy for post-COVID exposure clients. And as we'll go through here in a minute, you'll see there was a great deal of interest in it. Now, it's not scientific at this point because the statistical survey size is not yet representative of anything that would purport to speak for the industry or the current licensees. So as I mentioned, this will become more official on January the 1st. But you can take a look at some of the early answers and some of the early numbers that have come in so far. In January, so then we do plan to resume with the testimony regarding the board's response to the last letter we received from GIRC. We displaced that this morning because, displaced that this morning because of the presentation by the Institute of Justice. So, Madam Chair, I'm hoping that the survey composition reflects what your intent was, but and the board as well in your review this morning, but it is able to be changed before it goes formally live on January the 1st. And if you have additional questions that you'd like to have included, we can still do that very easily.
Thank you. Do any board members have any questions
on this? Tony is now paging downward through the questions and the answers. I'm sorry, we should have probably sent this to you today, or we can do it after the meeting with the actual results of the survey, the initial survey.
Okay. Thank you. Mr. Monahan, I think I did not complete the roll call vote on the consent agreement to surrender. That is my hiccup.
We did, Madam Chair.
Yeah, we did.
Okay.
Yep. We recorded it.
Okay. Thank
you.
Just to be sure that I took care of business. Thank you.
Well, thank you for checking back.
Okay. So how many respondents have we had so far on our survey? Do we have a number?
Yes. Let me give you the result for the last week.
18.
Okay.
Yes. That's it. Thank you, Nick. Mr. McLean, appreciate it.
Okay. So I think the word is getting out there when someone sees the, hears about it. I know I spoke with a massage therapist and mentioned it, and he says, oh, I'll get in touch with people I know. So hopefully that's going to spread, and we're going to be able to get more information on our survey and particularly what COVID has done to our industry since we were shut down for some months. Okay.
And Madam Chair, we will publish the results on the website for those who, for everyone, but also for those who have participated in the website. They'll be able to see the answers that others have given on the website as well. It's not going to be a closed survey. It'll be an open result survey.
Wonderful. Thank you. Okay. Summary.
Chair, I think Mr. McLean has a question.
Excuse me. Yes, Mr. McLean.
There's one question on here I don't know if I like or not. I know the survey's already out. Do you know of someone who has contracted the COVID virus and recovered, yes or no? Or contracted COVID virus and died, yes or no? Do we care what the result actually was? Otherwise, we're just basically asking them if they know somebody that's had COVID.
Right.
Madam Chair, Mr. McLean, we can eliminate that question. In fact, we actually had different questions than the ones that appeared for you this morning, so it's still able to be changed. There's no answer from that necessarily would impact on the training being proposed or considered by the board. So if you feel that may be invasive or not essential, we can eliminate that.
Or split it into two questions. Because if we're going to evaluate the concern that a therapist may have, you know, they may look at the issue differently. They know somebody that had it and recovered. So, hey, thumbs up, I'm good to go, I'm going to keep practicing. Or it may have a different emotional impact for someone that knew someone that had the virus and then was deceased, died from it.
Do you have suggestions on changing the question, or do you want it to be maintained or eliminated?
I have no problem with it being maintained if we split it into two questions in the same format that it currently asks.
Okay, we can do that.
Maybe we could split it into part A and part B.
Yep, that'll work too. That way we still have results for both, because I think people are looking at it differently, that if somebody recovered, hey, you know, I think I would still be open to the training and I feel comfortable working on folks after this training, versus if I knew somebody that had passed away from COVID, the training may not matter to me. I'm hands off until, you know, this thing passes.
Okay, Madam Chair, Mr. McLean, we'll make that change, that distinction, and we'll split it into two.
Yes, thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Are there any other comments from board members regarding the survey? Thank you. Okay, summary of current events. By law, the summary of current events is limited to summarizing recent occurrences. The board cannot propose, discuss, deliberate, or take legal action on any matter in the summary unless the specific matter is properly noticed for legal action. Mr. Augerton, do we have any current events that we should be made note of?
Madam Chair, there was a program broadcast on CNN the other evening regarding trafficking in the massage industry, although the story was based in Texas. And I was attempting to get that for distribution to the board, but it's not yet available on the CNN website. And I did try YouTube. But when that does become available beyond their 49-second promotional spot on it, I will get that to you. Just for background and review as it pertains to some of the issues we have here in Arizona. That's all I have for you.
Thank you. Discussion and possible action items for future massage board agendas. I believe, Mr. Augerton, we took our speakers for today and put them in January. Could you update us on who has agreed to speak to us?
Well, Madam Chair, board members, everybody who had agreed to speak to us today is still on hold and prepared to come before us in January. That includes Greg Harris from Lewis and Rocha. That includes Lorena Hayes from FSMTB. It includes Mara Concordia, who's our chair of our advisory group. Let's see here. I'm trying to remember who else we had on that. And John Sweeney from Pima County, who's the instructor of massage down there with the community college system. And I'm forgetting the fifth person. It'll come to me in a second. But I did want to take this moment to also confirm to Mr. McLean that we are also scheduling the Prop 207 voter-approved propositions impact on this industry at the January 25th meeting. And I've extended a personal invitation to a representative from the League of Arizona Cities and Towns. Don't have a response yet. And we'll try to get the same speaker before the assistant director from the Arizona Department of Health Services. So that will be on the agenda for the 25th as requested by Mr. McLean.
Thank you, sir.
If we have any updates on GERC, that, of course, will be shared with the board prior to January 25th. But as you just indicated, Madam Chair, that'll be a rescheduling of those speakers at that time. And then we'll also have a month worth of response on the polling, a survey on the website, which we'll provide to the board at that time also.
Wonderful. Thank you. So our next Arizona Massage Board meeting date is Monday, January 25th, 2020.
Madam Chairman, if I could interrupt, another topic that I would have an interest in, and Mr. Augerton and Mr. Monahan may, you know, want to just email me separately on this, but with the speaker that we had today regarding the standards regarding English for getting licensed, he referenced that we were one of the highest, if not the highest, in regards to requirements. I'd like to know more about that, whether it's through discussion at the next meeting or if somebody could, you know, let me know individually, because I firmly believe after serving on this board that English should be a requirement based on the, granted, it's a small representation of what comes in here in regards to the ability for the use of English, understanding and speaking, so if the standard had to come down, I understand, but I would like to know more about what we require, what's acceptable as well, still being cognizant of the fact that it's an issue in regards to sex trafficking and human trafficking.
Yeah, absolutely. Member McLean, excuse me. Tom can look into that, reach out to other executive directors, reach out to other boards and see, you know, any who do have TOEIC or TOEFL requirements and maybe what those requirements are so we can kind of match up different industries with ours.
Madam Chair, Mr. McLean, yes, we can put that on the agenda, not only for discussion and update, but remember, it's actually already, as somebody indicated in the meeting this morning with Mr. Avalar, we are actually in process on this and other issues that's continuing from last year and last fall with the Governor's Regulatory Review Council. So we can put that on the agenda for update and specifics, and then also by then we may have some scheduling details on when the board appears back before Kirk.
All right, sounds good. Yeah, I know Mr. Ramsey had mentioned it, so I'm sure he's pretty active on it, as are the other licensed members, but I would just like to know a little bit more as far as what our requirements are.
Great.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Any other discussion on current events or future actions for the massage board agendas? Okay, thank you. So our next Arizona Massage Board meeting date is Monday, January 25th, 2021. And is it at 9 a.m.?
Madam Chair, I want to lobby you for the 9 o'clock because you're going to have your presentations from the advisory group, which would probably run about 50 minutes. And if you start at 9:30 and then do that first, you're going to be into the lunch hour very quickly. So depending on the board's choice, because of the agenda item originally scheduled for today, I was going to lobby you for 9 a.m.
Does any board member have an objection to starting at 9 a.m.? Is there a motion to adjourn?
I'd like to make a motion that we adjourn.
I second.
Okay. We won't do a roll call vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Thank you so much, and we'll see you next year.